Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
For those of you who are joining us for the first time, we've been journeying through a very short series in light of the oncoming bonus season. And we want to make sure that your bonuses don't just dissipate and go off into oblivion with not any values to it. Every year for probably 20, 30 years of ministry, I try my best to talk about money before the bonus hits. And I've helped a lot of people actually change their minds about what wealth is and money is and how to go about it. So we started this series, and I want to give you a quick review of the last 2 weeks. And in hindsight, this morning when I preached at Vivo, I realized we should have done 4 or 5 weeks of this because it's just not enough to get people on board. I began by telling you about these men. I spoke about Albert Einstein, Andrew Grove of Intel. I talked to you about Howard Schultz of Starbucks and talked about all of these guys. And I said the one thing in common between the founders of Google, the Mark Zuckerbergs of this world, were they were all Jews. And the reason why Jonas Salk, who's one of the medical breakthroughs in history, the Jews were taught how to read before they could walk. They were taught how to study. But more importantly, they weren't just taught how to read and study, they were taught to read and study the Bible. And when you study and read the Bible in a certain way, there is a certain mindset. There's a certain way of thinking and rationalizing from the time you're born. And you know this, that the things that you've learned when you were young stay with you all the way to the time you're old. When my kids were young, I refused to let them watch horror movies. In fact, way past, until they were 15, 16, because I knew that once that spirit of fear gets in, it's hard to remove it from them. Your eyes are like cameras and your brains are like recording machines. And that's what the Jews did. The Jews taught their kids these things while they were young. Now, we went through Deuteronomy 28, verse 11. We said, the Lord will grant you abundant. The starting point is this idea of abundance, that God does not have a shortage. God has a lot. And we grew up from universities being told there is a shortage. In fact, economics tells you it is the management of limited resources. That's not the Bible. The Bible says there's unlimited planets, plants, animals, humans. There's unlimited, 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 and that's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. Now imagine if you're a little Jew growing up and that's your mindset. There is no limit. Now, the Jews further believe that Cain murdered his brother Abel because of envy, because his brother became more successful. His brother's offering was accepted and his was rejected. And as a result of that, he was measuring him from more success. And that envy, many times, people who envy people who are wealthy, an indicator of a scarcity, poverty mentality. Believing that I can't have what he has rather than if I could learn from him. And so thus he murders him. Dumb strategy, because what happens then is he loses 1/4 of his market for vegetables. Amen? More than that, he loses a brother. More than that, he loses someone who can actually teach him how to raise livestock. That's a poverty mentality, a scarcity mentality. Now, we said in verse 12, 11, it says, the succeeding things, you have a mindset of abundance, is you're going to have prosperity. It actually follows one and the other. And that word, prosperity, is the word yathar, which literally means surplus. By the way, in case you didn't know, I'm wearing a brand new shirt this morning. This is literally brand new. But because for those of you who are joining us for the first time, I wear the same colored shirt and the same brand every week. So nobody knows the difference. But I have an abundance. A person with surplus, I've got now 22 of these. I've got a surplus. You want some? I can give you some. I don't have a shortage, but your idea, people's idea is, I've got many different shirts, many new shoes and cars. No, it's about surplus. The thing that I need, I don't have any shortage of. I don't have a shortage of health. I don't have a shortage of food. I don't have a shortage. In fact, the reason why some people have shortages is because you spend so much on the things you shouldn't be spending on. Ouch. Now it goes on to say it's the fruit of your womb, he says. In other words, the Jews measure prosperity and abundance not from wealth, but from this idea of the fruit of your womb. In other words, relationship, because the fruit of your womb is the deepest and the strongest bond of relationship. A mother and a child is a picture. The Jew, that's not about having many children. That's about having deep relationships, because you're prosperous to the amount of relationships. If you have a miserable marriage, you're not prosperous. You can have all the money in the world, you're not. If you don't have a good relationship with your children, you're not. And out of that idea of relationship branches out all your other relationships. If you're growing up, when my father was sick, I had doctors coming out of the woodwork. People were calling me, how can we help you? How can we do this? Those are relationships. I didn't befriend those people so that they could help my father. I helped those people, disciple them in their marriages that now have become lifelong friends. Dentists, accountants, lawyers, pastors, teachers. The more relationships you have, the more prosperous you become. We make the mistake of thinking, if I had a lot of money, I can buy my friends. You can't. It takes time to get these people. It takes love. That's why Jews go to synagogues, because they know that's what the relationships are, and those relationships can be trusted. And that's why you go to church and small group and befriend people, because one connection leads to the other. And that's why you want to have the right friends, because those friends have the right friends and the right friends and the right friends and the right friends. Make sense? Now, then it goes, says the young of the livestock. Picture that to Cain and Abel is offering. Cain gave vegetables. Abel gave the fat of the livestock. To the Jew, prosperity means the ability to give my best to God. That's what it means to them. Because if you can cheat God, you can cheat anybody else. But if you can give your best to God, you're going to give your best to everybody else. And guess what's going to happen? People will flock to you. People will want to have a relationship with you, because they see that. They see that excellence in you. Now, further, as we said, it's the crops of your ground. It's the idea of a blessing, because the ground was cursed. And the measure of prosperity in God's eyes is this idea of a blessing. When I heard this, and I studied the Jews, and how the Jews would bless their children, they would literally go in the morning and in the evening and say, I bless you. I bless you. May God's face shine upon you. May your day be great. I started doing that with my children. I didn't have daughters, but I would lay hands on them and say, I bless you. I love you. You're special. You're amazing. Because when somebody hears that, more than all the money you get, when your soul is healthy, you walk differently, you act differently, you think differently, you talk differently. I bless you. The Jews had this practice. And by the way, we are spiritual Jews. Now, it goes on to say, the crops of your ground and land, they believe that this is their destiny. The Jews wake up believing, this is, you can throw me in a gas chamber, I'm getting out of there. You can put me in a ghetto. You can take away my property. You can unjustly treat me. I'm getting out of there because I have a prosperous soul. Now, let me summarize. Last week, we talked about how does it work. The Lord will open the heavens, not you. Don't get a can opener and open the blessings of God. Amen? The Lord will open the heavens. How does that happen? If you believe that he has a storehouse, that idea of oshtar, premium unlimited benefits from God. That's literally what it means. Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe that, and your mindset is, no, I've got to work for this, no, then it won't work. Because it takes faith to make this work. God, I believe you. I trust you. Starting point is a mindset of abundance. Now it says in the land, the rain in season. He sends rain in season. In other words, this does not happen overnight. If you're looking for a prosperity message where you're just going to believe and call it and say it and claim it, and it's not going to happen. Because prosperity happens over seasons. It happens over time. You're not going to get prosperous tomorrow. You're not going to be healthy tomorrow. You're not going to grow up tomorrow. Kids don't grow up overnight. They change. I can't look at my sons and expect them to be like me because they're not me. And they live in a very different time and season. I've now been living in Singapore for 3 years, and I've always had these conversations with people about, I'm a big LKY fan. If you're not, I am. I really am. I mean, I've been reading about this man a long time ago. First trip here was 1981. I've already been a fan. But every time I have a conversation with taxi drivers, with church members, whoever, it is inevitable that they will compare him with this man. And they say, you know what, the father was better, you know what, this, and I will always, in fact, I had that conversation with a taxi driver again this morning. I'll always stop them and say, listen, I'm sure LKY was the great man, but he lived in a very different season, a very different time. That's why this idea of comparing people or inequality, it doesn't work. Because when you compare yourself with that guy, why is he rich and I'm not? It's because you don't get it. He lives in a different season. If you got that same thing, it might actually be bad for you. So instead of envying him, you celebrate him and believe that you actually have the ability and the future that he has. Relationships. It's very different. The perspective of prosperity of Christians and Jews are very different from the world. The world thinks it's money, 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 money. If I had money, I'll have friends. No. In fact, you might actually have enemies. It doesn't necessarily follow. And then it says to bless your work of your hands. In other words, you still have to work. Let me summarize the last 2 weeks. A mindset of abundance leads to a mindset of prosperity, which is about relationships, about being able to best give your best to God, being blessed and walking in your destiny. That's what it is. You got the wrong mindset, lack, poverty, you get the wrong results because it becomes about money, supply, buying things, and you're wondering where all your bonus went. Now, prosperity, that mindset, leads you to a mentality of prosperity. There's a difference. A mindset is the starting block of the way you think. Mentality is the way you wake up every day. When you have a mindset, your trajectory of where your mentality goes becomes like that. That's how you think. That's how you process. Which leads to your practices, which requires faith, seasons, and the idea of work. Because without those three, your practices will be wrong. You're not going to be in faith. You're going to want it instantly rather than over time and seasons, and you're not going to work hard for it. You work hard not because you want to earn it. You work hard because you believe that if I work hard, it will actually happen for me. That's why you work hard, because it's undergirded by faith. And then it goes into this idea of the marks of prosperity, which is really my message for you this morning. What does that look like? The marks of prosperity is summarized in verse 28, chapter 28, verse 12. You will lend to many nations and borrow from none. This is the mark. If you're walking in prosperity, you're not in debt. Now, you could be in debt with money. You could be in debt relationally. You can be in debt. You can have all kinds. You could be in debt with God. By the way, the Bible says in Malachi, you've been stealing from me, from your tithes and offerings, and you're wondering, why am I not prospering? It's because, wait a minute, you're not even giving your best, you're not even giving your bare minimum to God. The mark is, I am the lender, not the borrower. Are you the borrower? Is that the attitude here? I'm always borrowing people's time, people's resources, people's gifts. Am I always the guy that's borrowing, or I'm the guy that lends you, that gives you, because I've got so much. I'm so abundant. I want to give you more. I want to give you more information. I just have so much. I mean, how much do you need? There. I'll give it away for free. Or are you the guy that's always, I can't give it. I've got. I don't have enough. I've got a store. And that's what greed is. It actually comes out of poverty. It's a mindset, isn't it? But it's a mark. If you're in debt to a credit card company, that is a bad place. Because that's the reason why these guys are rich. You know why banks are rich? They're the lenders. Because the Bible actually says the borrower is a slave to the lender. You're going to be a slave. He's got you. If you're a banker, we love you. Daniel, I love you. Amen. But he's smart. He's on the right side. He's the lender. He's not the borrower. If he ever borrows, it's because he just wants to go more. But this is the mark of someone who has an abundant mindset. I'm blessed not because of I've got a guy. I know I'm on my way there. A lot of these Jews that I showed you, they didn't start out wealthy. They started out with nothing. Most of these guys were actually, you know, coming from overseas. They were immigrants to America. They had nothing, zero, zilch. In fact, the reason why they were killed and murdered is because they were envied. They owned the banks. They were the richest people. And before they became the richest people, they were also immigrants from Israel. It was the mindset. It's the way they think. It's the way they process information. That's another mark, by the way. You're going to be the head and not the tail. This is how you know you're walking in prosperity. Are you the head or the tail? In other words, if you look at this, if I can get this, which one are you here? Are you here or are you there? That one smells, amen? Okay, where are you here? Now get this, the head always leads, influences. The tail always follows. Which one are you? Hey, listen, before you open your social media, and by the way, I'm in social media. I am. I'm in social media every day. I post every day. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. But listen, I do not start with social media. Before you get into the presence of people and mobs particularly, get into the presence of God first. But that's an indicator. Who are you following? Are you just the consumer who's following people, or are you the one influencing people? I love it when I look at my iPhone and it says, your screen time was down 10% again. Because I don't let people influence me. I influence people. Well, you're not going to do that if you're in debt. You're not going to do that if you're not healthy. You're not going to do that if you don't understand how this works. You'll always be the guy that people will be influencing, rather than the guy who should be influencing people, because you walk out of your house knowing, no, that's not how you gain influence. That's a mob. The mob, no matter how many thousand, 100,000 likes you have, you can have 200,000 likes. You lose that overnight. You're not, the mob will hate you tomorrow. It's the tribe that you're looking for. The guys that you have relationships with, that promote you, that talk about you, that say good things about you because they love you. That's how you grow this thing. Not about the mob. Not even about the audience. The audience will leave you when you're old, when you're gray, when there's someone else who's better than you. It's not how you build. It's not prosperity. Now further, it says if you pay attention, I'm landing now, I'm trying to end this thing now. If you pay attention, are you paying attention? If you were absent here today, listen to the podcast because you're missing the biggest part of this series. If you pay attention and carefully follow these things, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Powerful. And some of you are probably shaking your hands and said, that's impossible. How can you always be at the top and never at the bottom? Do you mean the Jews were always on top? These guys were in concentration camps. You see, because you got it wrong. To you, what the top is, the corner office. To you, the top is the success. To you, the top is money. To you, the top is wealth. To you, the top is the car. To you, the top, that's what you call the top. That's not what the Bible calls the top. The top is your faith, your relationships. The top is understanding who God is. That's the top. In other words, your attitude towards life can always be at the top, never at the bottom. When I first moved here, or at least the year that I moved here, my father passed away. And I remember that day because I was here, and then I flew over because my father was ailing, and then he didn't pass, so I came here, and then the day I landed that morning, he passed. And I was preaching at Harborfront, and I remember people came to me and said, "Did you even cry? I mean, how did you? You look like you're just disabled." And I said, "Of course I cried. That's my dad. I didn't just cry because he died. I also cried because for 5 years I took care of him." Amen? And that's expensive. Hallelujah. Of course I cried. But I'm not going to self-pity. I'm not going to do pity parties. I'm not going to call in loans. I'm not going to. That's not me. My attitude will always be at the top, no matter if the situation is at the bottom. Amen? And that is your problem when you have a mindset of poverty. When you have a wrong definition of these things, because now you think you're at the bottom because that guy's driving a new car and you're still riding the MRT. Amen? Well, the good news is grabs around. Amen? So you can rent any car you want. You want a van, you want 6 seats. You want a Ferrari, you can get a grab, amen? In fact, in some places, you can get a helicopter. Abundance. It's mindset. That's what's going to kill you. That's going to take you to the future, or it's going to kill you. Now, let me add, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset. That's the problem. When you live according to the world's standards, world's way, your mind is set a certain way. Those who live according to Spirit, the Word of God, the ways of God, their mindset is what that Spirit desires. And this is the clincher. This is what's going to make the difference for you next year. How you end this year and how you start next year and your finances and your wealth and your future is the mindset, because that's where it starts. Your mindset of abundance leads to prosperity, which now says, I'm going to take care of my relationships. I'm going to take care of the offering that God's entrusted to me. I'm not going to owe him anything. I'm going to be a blessing, and I will be blessed, and that's my destiny. Change that mindset. And then you move forward from that mindset. You now have this mentality of prosperity. And you move forward with the practices of faith, the seasons, and over time, I'm going to be consistent. You cannot be inconsistent. People who are going to have relationships with you will want to know, can I trust you for the long term and not just for now? Will you deliver excellence for the long term or not just for now? It just doesn't work that way. That now becomes an attitude of prosperity, which, by the way, is validated by the McKinsey's of this world, the greatest consultants will tell you that it starts with the mindset, because your mindset will become your attitude. Your attitude will become your behavior, your action, your results, and your bonus. But it starts there. Always there. Because new mindsets become new results. Now, here's the problem, and give me a little 3 minutes here. We think you can do this like this. We think we can change our mindset like Facebook. We think that just because I read it in Facebook and I watched a video on YouTube, tomorrow my mindset's different. No. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. It actually calls mindsets strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. It has a stronghold on you. What are these strongholds? Arguments. Reasonings that set itself up against the knowledge of God. No, there's a scarcity. No, God said there's an abundance. No, there's a scarcity. No, there's an abundance. God says, obey me. No, I want to do it my way. No, God says, feel fellowship, go to church. No, I don't have time for that. Go and keep your mindset and watch your year go. Nowhere. If you think you're going to watch a Facebook live thingy and tomorrow your mindset is going to change, it isn't happening. A mindset takes time. The stronghold, the word stronghold, by the way, is the word fortress. And you know how fortresses are built? Brick by brick, log by log, over time. And you know how new mindsets are built? The Jews? Brick by brick, log by log, over time, that becomes the fortress. I learned this message more than 20 years ago. And I started demolishing the arguments and the reasonings, and I started putting new bricks, new logs, new ways of thinking. That's why you pray. That's why you meditate on the word day and night. That's why you proclaim the gospel, and that's why you fellowship with other believers, because you want to knock down this door. Because the day you knock down this door is the day you start demolishing your strongholds. It's not a quick fix, but it's a good fix. And it's a lifetime fix. How do you do that? Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Arrest that thought that says, you can't do that. No, I can do that in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not going to happen to me. That's because Pastor Joy can talk. No. Grab that thought. This can change. Take captive every thought. Arrest it. And make it obedient to Christ. And watch your year. Amen? Come into abundance. Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Just close your eyes. Bow your heads. Just be still for a bit. Thank you, Jesus. Father, it's our desire that we end this year strong. Look up here for a minute. The tendency is when the year is about to end, you just... Okay, we just go on autopilot. If you want to start good next year, end strong this year. So by the time everybody's just getting ready to ramp up in January, I'm ready to go. Because I never left off. Because the reality is, you build relationships, you can enjoy relationships at Christmas time. You can build all of those. It's mindset. Close your eyes. If you're here this morning, you're saying, God, by the way, the act of closing your eyes is not going to make anything more spiritual. It's just so that you can be alone with God. And if you're saying, God, I have mindset issues. And just between you and me, God, I'm asking you, help me change my mindsets this year. If that's you, would you just lift up both your hands towards heaven? God, I want to break these mindsets. Lord, I'm done with this. I don't want to think this way. I don't want to act this way. I don't want to believe this way. I want to believe, God, your word. It says you're a God of abundance. You're a God who said, you said, Jesus, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And so, Father, even today, I repent of believing wrong things about you. And I choose instead to believe the good things that your word says. And today, Father, I lay the first brick. And Lord, today I take the first hammer strike against that gate of strongholds in my life. And Jesus, I'm asking you, and Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, help me as I start this journey. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.